Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
Deposit some more strength in you. We want to finish up our series, Praise Forward. This has just been life-changing, to say the least. Please grab a hold of the hot, fresh Jesus we are giving to you each week through our worship services and through our Wednesday Bible studies, through our social media. That's what we're doing. We're here to feed you the fresh revelation of the finished work of Christ so that you can be strong and healthy and go through life knowing who he is, knowing what he's done for you and who you are in him. That's what we're all about. And it is those three realities that enable people to experience the love and the power of Christ in their daily lives. So grab a hold of it. Make up your mind. This is going to be my reality. This is my reality from this day forward. We're moving forward. And I love the statement that we made at the beginning of this series, and in each we keep reiterating it, that the only way to consistently move forward in all that God has for you is through praise. And that's just such a powerful truth to learn, because it will help you to know what to do in tough situations, is to begin to appraise or raise the value of Christ,
your
own your own appraisal of him, raise it. If challenging situations, when they present themselves to you, raise your estimation of him. God, you're greater than this.
That's right.
You're more powerful than this. That's right. Who's greater than you? You're for me. I can't lose. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. You, because you're so great, you always cause me to triumph. You raised me up with your son. You've seated me at your right hand. That's the type of appraisal we want to teach you how to activate this and practice this in your daily life. It is the key. It is the key. And with the verse we've been going to has been Romans 4. That's been our main verse of the series.
You know, before we go any further, I forgot to mention that we are having a little after party today.
Yes, we is.
And that is to say that if you're watching us on Facebook, Rumble, some YouTube today, we invite you to go over to highwaychurch.us/online.
Yep.
And you can join our live. You can join our live platform on our website, and that is where you will be able to hang out with us today after service.
Yep.
So many people jump on there and you guys chat with one another, and it is a place where we can encourage one another and emphasize what God is speaking to our hearts even while this message is going on. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we'll jump on together and just have some fun. So if you want to join us on the after party after this service, make sure you switch over to highwaychurch.us/live.
Yep, that's awesome. That's our live platform. Mm-hmm. And you can head over there now and enjoy the service and chat together there as well.
Let's read that scripture.
Let's do it. Romans 4, 17. It describes the character of God that Abraham is looking to when he's facing the greatest challenge of his life. It says, it reminds us that the one Abraham was looking to is the God who gives life to the dead, right? That's as powerful as you get right there, who calls into being that which does not exist. I mean, that's everything. If you can do that, then you can't be stopped. Right? This is the God we serve. He gives life to dead things, and he calls into being that which does not exist.
Right.
Before any of this was, he is. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
No one made him. No one, he has no beginning. He's the author of life. And he never grew stronger. He never became. He always is. So this is the God we're encouraging you to know and to worship and to appraise, okay? Now, verse 20, I love the way it says this in the Amplified. It's so powerful. It says, no unbelief or distrust made Abraham waver, doubtingly question, concerning the promise of God. You're going to be a father. I've made you the father of many nations. But he grew strong. Abraham grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully assured, fully satisfied that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. I want to share with you even this last week. There are times in the last week that just fear came at me.
Yeah.
Fear, doubting, questioning. I could like feel it. And what did I do? Well, I know the word. I began to worship the Father. And I'm telling you, you can go from feeling like you don't even know your own name to strong, confident, certain, sure through praise. And I began to worship the Lord, and I would not allow that heaviness to settle. I would not allow it to push me back. And I began to praise him and worship him. And I'm telling you, this is real life. This is, you know, no one knowing what's going on around you. You're just living your life, and fear comes against you. Doubt knocks on your door. Distrust gives you a phone call. And what are you going to do in the midst of the things? Discouragement, offense, you name it. They come in many shapes and sizes, all designed to get your focus off of who you are, what God's called you to do, and to get you to retreat or to stop. But you, in the midst of that, just like the father of our faith, you've got to choose to look at the one who raises the dead, who calls into being that which does not exist, and begin to worship him, praise him. And as you begin to lift him up above your situation, you will grow stronger. You will become sure and certain that he is able and mighty to keep his word and to do it in your life, regardless of what you might be facing. And you will rise above that. You will give him the right of way to lift you up and move you forward and put you over. So powerful. We said last week that praise does a number of things. There are many benefits to praise. The one we talked about last week is that it shuts the mouth of your enemies. It shuts the mouth of Satan. I'm telling you, hey, I was listening to our podcast. I'll tell you, it really is fresh. It really is.
You get fired up?
I really did. I want to invite you to do that. Go to our website, click on podcast. There's something about the podcast format. It's just audio.
I love it.
It really hits you different. It really does, because you can't see anything. You're just listening. And it really teaches your ears how to focus in. And I like video, but there's something special about training your ears
and focusing
on what you're hearing.
The distraction.
And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the previous podcast, these messages, last week before, and let it soak in. We are not here to hear a sermon. We're not here to do church. We are the church. We're here to eat fresh, hot
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes.
And so many believers really don't know what church is about. Right. It's not about culture. It's not about clothes. It's not about music. It's about eating Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's about fulfilling Christ's destiny for our lives. And all those other things are fine. But what we need is fresh, hot revelation of who we are, what he's done for us, and who we are in him.
You know,
if you've got that, you've got everything.
You are saying something very pertinent, and I believe of the Spirit of God, because things are being boiled down right now.
Watered down, maybe.
No, boiled down to the base.
Oh, gotcha.
Boiled down. Like, you know, all you just said, the culture, the way you dress, the music that's played. You know, different churches have different music. All that stuff is being boiled down or boiled off, maybe I should say, and we're coming down to the meat and potatoes of what it is to be the church in this hour, in this day. I really believe that is by the Spirit of God. I picked up on that as you were saying that we've done church and we've walked our walk with the Lord for so long with all the extraneous, maybe to the expense of the basics, which is knowing Christ,
the real meat.
Knowing who we are as the church in Christ.
Yep.
And so we're coming back to that. I believe we're coming back
Absolutely.
To that. We're being called back to
meat and potatoes,
to the basics again.
Absolutely.
And all that other stuff is
absolutely
can just
absolutely.
Fall by the wayside. So
you need to be equipped with the working knowledge of his love for you. So when we gather, Highway Church, we're giving you that fresh, hot revelation so you can grab a hold of it and then apply it each day. That's how it works. That's what church is supposed to be, a place where you come and receive revelation of Christ. That's what it was in the New Testament. They came, they would read the revelation from the apostles, and they would take notes on it, they would grab a hold of it, they would speak it to each other, they'd pray over it, and they'd fellowship together all around this revelation. Not around being a Christian, not around what their group of people thinks is right or wrong. The focus of the New Testament church, and that's what Paul helped so much,
yes,
bring that into clarity, was to be the finished work of Christ. And we're still working on that today.
Yeah.
And don't let anything take you off of that. That's our focus at Highway. Why? Because when the time comes, when the enemy comes against you, the only thing that's really going to give you the strength to rise up above what he's throwing at you is your knowledge of God's love for you. Your knowledge that you don't have to cry and sing and hopefully somehow to get the power to come down, but the power of Christ is already inside of you. The Spirit of God is already in you. You're already righteous. You're already strong. You're already healed. It's done. And instead of trying to figure out how to get God to do it, you stand up and you run and you move because you know who you are. And the devil can't mess with people like that.
You're talking about a working knowledge. You know how to work this, how to apply it, how to walk in it.
Yeah. Come on. It's about walking in the finished work. Mm-hmm. It's not about singing. It's not about all this other stuff. I'm not knocking that. But man, we've really got to get back to the reality of true Christianity, walking in Christ. Walking in Christ. I'm not focused on how people talk and act and dress, and I'm focused on walking with Christ, walking in the fullness of his plan, walking in the Spirit, the fullness of love, the love of God shed abroad in my heart. It will change the way you live. It'll change the way you live. I want to look at one example, and you alluded to it. We were going to try and get to it last week. We just didn't have a chance, but I want to take us to the book of Acts. Because I want to talk about take a look at two followers of Christ who are at a very low point. And you know, it's funny, in I think sometimes in America we've become very spoiled as far as what difficulty is. We haven't seen anything like what they dealt with in the first generation of the New Testament church. I haven't even come close, and we may never will before Jesus comes back. I don't know. But, I mean, they dealt with some severely difficult situations. Yeah, we see a raccoon, and we're like, ooh, there's a raccoon. But they dealt with some serious things, you know. But here's Paul and Silas, okay? Are you with me? Because why is this important? The people in the scriptures are for our benefit. Because these are peoples as peoples, remember?
This is
you and me going through life. And, man, you will find the most severe situations in the Bible, good and bad. You'll find that it very, very difficult and very, very amazing situations. But here these men are. They've given their lives to preaching the gospel. Now, this is a brand new word that came into the earth through Christ. You know, the book of Acts is about 30 years. It takes time for this word to get out there. You know, this is a whole new thing, very different from anything anyone's ever known. And they're spreading this word, okay? And they're traveling, and a vision appears to Paul. So I'm in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I want you to see how this happens. A vision appears to Paul. Christ speaks to him. Let Christ speak to you. Hear from Christ. Don't settle from hearing from man-made doctrines. Don't settle from hearing from what's culturally popular. You've got to know Christ for yourself. Determine to hear from Christ in your personal life regularly. Because he made you. He's called you. Come on. How are we doing, guys? Are we? Come on. You know him. You got to know him for yourself. You've got to walk with him. Because no one can walk with him for you. You've got to know him. So here are these men who've given their lives to following Christ. They get this vision to come to Macedonia. I'm just going to kind of skim through this till I get to where, for time's sake. And let's see, to the Macedonians, and they came to the conclusion that the Lord is calling them there. And then verses 11 through 15 describe They're going from Troas and so forth. Let's go down to verse 16. So they have been fellowshipping with saints, ministering the gospel, and they come to their destination. In verse 16, it said, "It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." So there was this woman who met them. They're doing the work of the Lord. They're spreading the finished work of Christ. And this woman meets them who's possessed with a spirit of divination. And the people who own this woman are making a lot of money off of this spiritual demon that's occupying her body. Yeah, and people will pay for that stuff. Well, verse 17, "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto you the way of salvation. And this she did many days." Now, when you're reading the scriptures, put yourself there. Here is Paul and Silas following Christ. He's given them a vision to go to Macedonia. For many days, they're going to prayer. They're teaching people the finished work of Christ. And this possessed woman is calling out, raising a fuss over them that's distracting from what they're there to do. And Paul's had it. After many days. Remember, praise will shut the mouth of your enemies. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the woman, to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And now the people who own her get very upset, because now their means of profit is gone, okay? And what do? They began to raise a controversy about Paul and Silas. This goes on in our culture like crazy controversy. And, you know, Paul revealed to us there is a spirit sent by Satan into his life to try and keep him from preaching the gospel, and you can see it here. What was that spirit? Is a messenger of Satan to stir up controversy and try and hinder Paul from preaching the gospel. And we're seeing an example of
that
right here.
That's so good. I like that Acts, we're dealing, you know, two things here, you know, an individual possessed with a spirit and then a crowd that is being impacted by
that same spirit. Yep.
And the whole purpose of that spirit here was to distract from what was being preached.
Yep, that's right.
To distract.
That's right.
Or to shut down, you know. And I've always found it interesting, too. I just want to say this real quickly, that it seems like the girl with the spirit of divination, it seems like she was almost announcing or like providing a service to the apostles, because she's saying, mm-mm, these are the people, mm-mm, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. That sounds like a free billboard.
God never works with Satan.
No.
Never.
And I want you to know this. This has been my experience as well, that anytime, and the more you walk with the Lord and learn about these things, the more you'll encounter these things, I believe. But it's been my experience that when a spirit is bothering a person, and I've had one, a lady approach me once at a homeless facility, and she said, "I think I know you. I know you." She kept saying, "I know you. I know you." And I've never seen this woman in my entire life. And then it occurred to me,
this
particular instance where she's talking all about them, like, "Oh, I know these people. I know these people." And I recognized in that moment, this isn't this woman speaking, that this is a spirit seeking to distract, and because we were there to minister. So coming up and, you know, "I know you, I know you, I know you," you know, and it was like, okay, I recognize this, you know, just in the same as an act. So, you know, there will be that recognition in the spirit when you encounter potentially demonic activity in another. There will be that recognition of Christ in you by that.
Yep. And Satan's promotion always comes with a price that you don't want to pay. You don't need him to promote you. Let God promote you. So Paul knew this.
That's right.
Right up front.
That's so
good. I don't need this spirit
to
be saying
that.
Anything. I don't need this darkness
certainly
to be telling
not.
Anybody anything about anything.
Right.
Because we got the spirit
Shut
of God.
Shut it down.
So these men are upset. So what do? They didn't. Paul didn't do anything wrong. So what do they accuse? They said, but these men are teaching customs that are contrary to ours. And all of a sudden, the multitude rises up together against them. Prior to this, everything was fine, right? You can go from everything fine to a controversy where people want to kill you, just like that. And the magistrates, they take off their clothes, so this is a big deal, and they command them to be beaten. So there they go. They're preaching the gospel, and now they're stripped of their clothes and commanded to be beaten. Wow. And again, I like to try and take my time when I'm reading and think of what this must have been like. This is more than their phone not working. This is getting beaten, okay? This would hurt. This would be a very difficult situation. And here they are. They're not doing anything wrong. They're pure before God. They're bringing these people what they need to be set free, and they're beating them instead. How bizarre is that? Mm-hmm. That's the world we're living in.
Right.
It's contrary to life.
Right.
And when they had many stripes upon them, they had laid many stripes upon them. What did they do? Was that it? Did they leave them alone? No. They cast them into the prison, and actually, and they charged them. They put them, let's go down a little bit, verse 24. When having received such a charge, they thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they put them in the deepest, darkest, nastiest part of the prison. Here's two men, not doing anything wrong, just following Christ. They get beaten, laid many stripes upon them, and then they cast them into the darkest, nastiest place. I'm sure there is human waste and, you know, creatures.
Vermin.
And yeah, running around and just smelled lousy. What are we talking about? Let's see what they did. Okay. Listen, I don't know what you've dealt with, and I haven't been in this situation, but I've gone through some painful stuff in my life. You know, life and death, difficult things from the time I was a child, and things that really hurt, and I didn't want to take another breath. So even though I've been through this, I've been through some challenges, and I want to show you what turns it around. Okay, so this would be a low point. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. This is not, this is very, probably about as far from a good day as you can get, okay? And at midnight, at the dark, so they're at the lowest point, and it's at midnight. In verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God.
Hallelujah.
Praise forward. I mean, that doesn't make any sense naturally. That doesn't make any sense. Praise doesn't make any sense to this world. Worshiping God doesn't make any sense. And listen, let's keep reading. Unto God. And the prisoners heard them. So there they are in the innermost and the darkest place, maybe the worst day of their lives at this point. And what do? They begin to lift their attention to God. They begin to pray, and they begin to sing praises unto him. I don't even know if they could sing. Doesn't matter. Why? What are they doing? Expressing the nature of God, worshiping, appraising God, elevating their value of God above their current situation. Very powerful. And now the other prisoners, who I'm sure had stories, who'd been through some stuff, and so they hear him, and suddenly what happens? There's a great earthquake. It shook the earth. Real praise will shake things.
That's good.
What's real praise from your heart? I'm not talking about drum beats. I'm not talking about lights. I'm talking about a heart of faith. You knowing who Christ is, you walking, you grabbing a hold of this, saying, no matter what, Jesus is Lord of my life, and I'm going forward. Heart of praise, a heart of faith, same thing. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened, and everyone's hands were loosed.
Glory to God.
Are you seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how amazing is this? Praise is the only way to consistently move forward in all that the Father has planned for you. The Father didn't plan those things for them. Satan was coming against them. Satan assigned messengers and demons to buffet Paul and to put him in that prison to keep people from being set free. So Paul, I mean, I probably would have just quit.
Well, if anybody had any reason to complain or be dismayed, it would have been these two. But that is not what they're doing. Mm-mm. And, you know, I think as I look back, I think there are probably times that we faced that were challenging for sure. And yet you don't recall them in that way. You don't recall them as like, oh, remember that time we were in prison and
right.
You recall once you've come through, because as you the say, the doors were open and the hands were loose. Mm-hmm. So once you come through, you don't recall that time as, I don't want to say if it'd be really fun. I mean, it might seem crazy, like I'm nuts, but you don't really look at the challenge.
Of course not.
You look at what God did.
You look at him.
And his faithfulness.
Yes.
And right. And so you begin, as you live this life of praise, appraising God, mm-hmm. Considering him greater than your circumstance. I mean, they had every reason mm-hmm. to complain, mm-hmm. and they were praising God instead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we have much less, and we're complaining much more. So if we get a correction today from the Holy Spirit,
good. That's so good.
It's it right there. Come that on. With much less... If we need not be complaining.
Hallelujah.
More. We yep. can praise God. And challenges, you don't really go back. If you talk to us, we don't really relate to you all the challenges that we faced. Mm-mm. Because God is the same today. And whatever challenge may come, God is the same. So mm-hmm. they really aren't real big in our mm-hmm. estimation or in our recollection yep. even. But God is foremost and yeah. biggest in our thought and in our expectation.
And that would be our only reason for talking about them is to
say how good
to
God
give
was.
A testimony of what God did exactly. in the midst of that situation.
Exactly.
And it's just so powerful. So all of a sudden, everything's changing now. The earth is shaking. The foundation of the prison is shaking. And the doors are open and all of their bands are loosed. And the keeper of the prison, this is obviously a big deal, to the keeper of the prison. He awakens out of his sleep, and seeing that the prison doors are open, he drew his sword. He was going to kill himself, supposing the prisoners were fled. So this is a very serious situation.
Absolutely.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, don't do yourself no harm, for we're all here. So, I mean, look at the power of God here. Paul says, could have just said, let him go. He's the one who threw me in here. Let's get out of here. Uh-uh. Do you see the love of God here?
So merciful.
Loves the one who just put you in prison.
Yes.
Loves the one that just did you wrong big time. That's the love that's shed abroad in your heart. This is why complaining is so opposite of God.
So opposite.
It's so opposite of your true self. Don't do it. It's the atmosphere that Satan operates in, not that we operate in, right? We praise, we thank him, we give thanks. So he, instead of, you know, punching this guy or letting this man kill himself, he cries with a loud voice. He's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, we're here. Everything's fine. God has a plan for your life. Don't take your life. God has a plan for you. He loves you. He's not disappointed in you. He's for you. He created you in his image. He's got a purpose. Don't take your life. And this man, then Paul calls for a light I'm just skimming through here fast. This man comes trembling. He falls down before him. The prison guard called for a light. And Paul and Silas, he falls down before him and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And very simply, like just like Jesus responded, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And you shall be saved in your house.
Man, oh man.
Let me say this, guys. Again, we've gotten way too spoiled in America. We've made it all about where we live, our cars, our neighborhood, or our vibe. Guys, it's all about knowing Christ.
Amen.
What are we really living for? Come on. Are you living to please him? Are you living to fulfill his destiny for your life? Really? Come on, this is what it's all about. And I know this might not be a popular message, but it's the message that'll set you free. It's the message that'll give you muscles you never had before.
That's good.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about, I don't know, this morning, I think, as I was getting ready, is, man, choosing to follow him is the best choice you could ever make. It's the best, and that doesn't mean everything's going to go your way. Paul went through some serious stuff.
Doing God's purpose.
And he lists the things that Satan came against him. He lists those things. Mm-hmm. You know, the buffetings, the shipwrecks, being Beatings. A day and a night in the sea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting robbed. Shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went through some stuff. But what he declares is God's faithfulness through it all.
Mm-hmm.
No one could stop Paul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's in the book of Acts. He's staying in a fully paid for, beautiful apartment in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And people could come and go. And he's in prison. And the government's taking care of his beautiful pad. And people are coming and having an amazing Bible study. He's getting set free. And he's doing it all at the expense of Rome. I love that.
Hallelujah.
God has a way of working things out for you and setting you up so that you can do all that he's called you to do.
Amen.
We want to encourage you in this. Listen, I get it. It gets ouch when someone you know, talks about being spoiled or letting go of some of the things maybe we've been holding on to. Listen, we don't have much time before Jesus returns.
Hallelujah.
And you say, what's much time, like 10 seconds? Listen, 10 years is not a lot of time. 50 years is not a lot of time. And that's another thing. You get spoiled, you start looking wrong at time.
Mm-hmm.
And you start, like, hoarding it. Like, I've got to have my time. I need me time. No, we need Jesus' time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? We were crucified with Christ. And the life we live by his faith. We're on his time now. We're walking with him. We're living for him. We're not living for the American dream. We're not living to have our house and our car and our whatever. We're living to know him. We're living to walk with him. We're not spoiled people. We're fresh and alive unto God. And we have his priorities. And we're focused on him, not our retirement plan, not our investments. We're on this earth to walk with him. Are you hearing me, Highway family? I just feel strongly impressed, and we endeavor to do this every time we minister, is to really emphasize what we feel the Spirit of God is emphasizing. Doesn't always fit into the time frame or to what we were planning on talking about, but if you'll just let go of your clock and of what the things you think are valuable and give yourself to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, you'll discover a life that you never imagined existed. It is a life of being filled with the Spirit of God, of knowing who you are, of living your divine destiny, and doing the things God's called you to do. And it comes by praise, evaluating him, mm-hmm. assessing him as the most important person in your life.
Right.
Father, this has been so good. This has been so good. Lord, forgive us for being ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive us for becoming kind of spoiled or bratty or superficial. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are many of us in this nation will never see the things we read, the difficult situations that we're reading about here because of the freedom we have in this country. And we thank you for that.
Yes, Lord.
But we don't want to take it for granted.
Mm-mm.
And we don't want to become artificial or superficial or shallow. And we stay deep by praising you as the Most High God. This is how we stay real and true to who you are, is by worshiping you and exalting you and valuing you above everything else in our life, about all the clothes, above all the homes and the vehicles and the accessories and the geographical locations and the plans. And we exalt you above everything we've ever desired.
Yes.
And we desire you more. We desire to fulfill your will and plan for our lives more. We're living for you and for you alone. You are the value of our lives. You are our home. You are our fine car.
Yes, yes, yes,
you are the clothes we wear. You are our dream. You are our retirement plan. You are our vision and passion. And we love you and we worship you. and we give you praise. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this Highway family. Lord, these are the last of the last days. And Lord, if there was ever a time to accelerate to the finish line, it is now. And Lord, we realize the only reason your son has not returned already is because of your mercy, because so many would perish. That is the only reason. You are not slow in any way, shape, or form. You are faithful to keep your word, but you are waiting for more to come in. The last thing you want is for one to perish. We recognize that. And so we are vigilant in doing what you've called us to do, making our lives all about you, not about what we can gain or get, but what we can give to you. Help us to be all about you before you return, Lord Jesus, because it really is all about you. We thank you. We give you the right of way to shift our priorities, yes, to change our future plans, yes, to change the things we give everything to you, and we embrace you with all that we are. God, your will, abundant life, be done in our lives just as it is in heaven. It's in the name of your Son we pray. Hallelujah. Listen, Highway family, we all we can do is encourage you and exhort you. You've got to make this decision on your own. You've got to decide what your life is all about. And I'm amazed at how free we are to do whatever we want.
Yes.
God truly made us in his image. He's given us total freedom. And you can do whatever you want with your gifts and your time. And as far as this world is concerned, you may be able to achieve a lot. Mm-hmm. But it's God's desire that you would enter into a relationship with him. And just like marriage, give your whole self to him. And that's what marriage is. We gave our whole selves to each other. That's why you end up living the rest of your life with each other. And living together and doing everything together. Well, it is likened unto a marriage with Christ. Give your whole self to him. And listen, I can't imagine a marriage where our money wasn't flowing between us. Yow, that's not a marriage, guys. If you've got your secret little stash and her secret little stash, I mean, I even eat her little snacks in the pantry. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. But what's yours is mine, so it's just the way it is, Jen. I mean, you know. But really, listen, be open, be open, be fully open with Christ. You know what? The thing and the reason she lets me do it because she loves me and I love her and we're just overflowing. We have fun with it. You know what I mean? But God wants to show himself to you. He wants you to eat him. He wants you to grab a hold of him. He wants you to believe him for all things. So what we one of the joys of our marriage with Christ or our relationship with Christ is giving him our money. We worship him with our money. And I made a statement last week, so true. You know, you really can't have a strong relationship with Christ without tithing.
You cannot.
You can't do it.
You cannot.
And people say, where do you tithe? Well, where are you being fed? What is the church God has called you? What is the fivefold ministry work that God's called you to? If you're a part of Highway family, tithe here, sow here. Why? Because you're being fed here. You're being given this revelation of Christ. And I, in my life, and this is, I'd encourage this, I've always endeavored to find that wherever I was and whatever season of life I had, and it can be really challenging to find a fivefold ministry, a church that's going to build you up in the revelation of Christ and not add weights to that, you know, like, and you've got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this. You better watch out for this. And I don't remember who I was just talking about, brother yesterday, and talking about people who have come out of some stuff. You know, you can end up being more miserable in Christ than you were before you came to know Christ because of religious tradition. And it should be the opposite. Yes. You should be the most freest person on earth. So recognize God's system in the earth. He has systems. He has plans. He has structures. And he Jesus, when he ascended back unto the Father, he gave us gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? To do works in the earth where we could come and connect and get revelation of him and be equipped to fulfill our destiny, to do the work of the ministry, which is leading people to Christ and building up his church and expanding mm-hmm. his kingdom. So this is an opportunity for you to worship God with your money. And we invite you to just be lavish. Mm-hmm. Just worship God, love him, express your love to him with your moolah, mm-hmm. with your dinar, with your money. And, you know, there was a standard set by Abraham before, 430 years before there was ever any Levitical priesthood, ever any Mosaic covenant. It was the 10%, to worship God with 10%. And then we had, of course, the Mosaic law came along, and they brought that under the Levites. But then Christ came along, and now we bring it unto him.
Yes.
And in Acts, they went way beyond the 10%. They sold properties and brought the prophets into the church to the fivefold ministry gifts. Why? For the kingdom of God to be expanded. With this, and the world doesn't understand this. They're saying they're trying to get your money.
Right.
Why are you going to give your money to those people? You're not giving your money to those people. We're sowing seeds into the kingdom of God. We're worshiping Christ.
Hallelujah.
And I love, Hebrews is so powerful.
It is.
You got to be ready to think different. You can't be thinking like the world and think you're going to fulfill your destiny.
No.
The world has no idea what we're all about. They have no idea what being the church is. And they will criticize it, and they think it's a scam. But it says that they're the Levites in the old covenant, they receive the tribes.
This is good.
But in the new covenant, Jesus receives it.
That's right.
That's in Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 10. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When we sow our tithes, we're not trying to develop a charity, or we're worshiping Christ mm-hmm. with at least 10% of our revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, and this has been, no matter where I was or what stage of my life, whether I was living in the Midwest, in the South, in Europe, wherever I was living, when I sowed seed into that ministry or that church, I sowed it. And I didn't say, I wonder what they're doing with that money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why? Because then you haven't sowed it.
No, you haven't.
I gave it to God.
You're
I gave it to God, it. And I'm all set. Yeah,
it's a lot of that.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, the religious police.
Well, that's because they think they're giving it to the church.
Yeah.
They're not giving it to Christ.
Yeah. And can you imagine giving something to someone and taking it back? Then you haven't given it to them. But that's what you do. When you sow a seed, when you plant a seed in the ground, you don't dig it up again. Mm-hmm. What happens? It dies. Mm-hmm. When you give to God, you got to give and let it go.
Let it go.
You telling me to let go of 10% of my revenue? I'm not telling you to. I'm encouraging you to.
I'm saying, yeah.
Absolutely. I know this might be different for a lot of people. And a lot of people come to church and they have been feasting at Highway
uh-huh.
for years. And haven't sown anything.
Right.
And I realize that. It's okay.
It's okay.
And we're not, but I'm trying to help you. Okay, trying to help you.
In the same way, we're not dependent on the church. We're dependent.
No, absolutely. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, regardless of what people are doing. We're keep going because God's called us to do this, not based on who gives what. We're doing this, and God has provided for us faithfully our whole lives.
Exactly.
But our trust is in Him, not in who's giving.
What's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get you in on the kingdom, the way the kingdom works.
The way it works.
But you cannot fulfill your destiny without tithing. You just can't do it.
You cannot.
It's just a part. It's like saying you could be married without sharing your money. You can have some kind of superficial paper you sign,
right.
But that's not marriage.
No.
Marriage is your whole self. And if money is not a part of your marriage, then you're not married. Because what's mine is hers. We've had, you know, we do one checking account, several savings account. That's just how we do it. But it's always been joint. Everything's mm-hmm. joint with mm-hmm. us. Why? Because we're one. Same thing with Jesus. Our money, when we get a paycheck, it belongs to him. What do you want us to do with it, Lord? Mm-hmm. What's your priorities for this money that's just come into our hands? That's how we live in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. This is big, guys. This mm-hmm. is big, 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 big.
Yes, it is.
Big, 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 big. So we invite you to worship. And again, this is not a have-to thing at all. We want to get you in on the deep intimacies of this powerful marriage with Christ. And worship him with your money and let it go. Once you sow it, begin to praise him and thank him
Hallelujah.
For the powerful fruit, the powerful harvest of the seed
yes.
you've just sown. And you watch how amazing.
Yes.
You just watch what God does with the seed you've sown in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You will be amazed. We'll just forever be.
We'll forever ha! Be amazed.
Ooh, ha!
Look at God.
It's so good.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So you can worship the Lord with your money through highwaychurch.us. That's our website, highwaychurch.us. Just click on the give. That's our give page. And you've got many ways that you can worship him there. Directly through our website, you can also text. We've got all the links on our page there. 508-502-7733. You can give assets via our website. You've got our Cash app. What is it? Highway Give, I think, is our Cash app handle. It's all there. It's on your screen. Hallelujah. But man, just get in on this. Get in on this. We're moving forward. God has things for us to do. We're fivefold ministry gifts. And if you feel, if you've been feasting off the revelation we've given, if you've been benefiting from the ministry, we encourage you to take the next step. Sow. And when you sow a seed, you're choosing to go deeper in this relationship. You're choosing to apply the revelation that you're hearing. You're choosing to be a part of what we're doing. You're choosing to listen to the messages, to worship with us on a regular basis, to be a part of the Bible studies. You're choosing to fully feast with the provision God has provided for you through this church, Highway Church. So it's a big deal. I know this is longer than I plan on going, but I really feel today we need to kind of a little bit of a maybe a little, you know, wake up and let's get back to what life is really all about. Let's get our eyes back on Jesus. Let's get our eyes back on the purpose of Christ in the earth, being the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship him right now with our money. Amen. Father, we come before you. Jesus, what a privilege to be united with you, to be in this marriage with you. Lord, everything we have belongs to you. Forget about the systems of man. We're in your church. We're your body. We're your hands and feet in the earth. And Lord, we bring you at least 10% of our revenue, and we sow it into your church. We sow it into the kingdom that you have given us through your Son. And Lord, we thank you for Highway Church. Lord, this is something I ever wanted to do. It's something you asked me to do, and I said yes, because I want to follow you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your rich provision for this church and ministry. We thank you, Lord God, for every person who's a part of this Highway family. And, Lord, we worship you with our money right now. We bring to you the tithes and the offerings and worship you. Father, be glorified with every seed we sow. Lord, for the expansion of your kingdom in the last of the last days, Lord, that this ministry would expand and reach more people than ever. We thank you, Lord, for the resources, for all the equipment we need, the cameras, the switchers, the all the stuff that we need, the audio, the video, everything. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the buildings. We thank you for the relationships. We thank you for the people to do the things you've called us to do. Mm-hmm. And Father, we thank you for each member of this Highway family. We thank you for multiplying back to them the seeds that they sow exponentially, 100-fold and more. In Jesus' name, 100-fold and more. In Jesus' name. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of his goodness, who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life he came to give you.